this weekend, the latest Transformers movie rolled into theaters. So today we're going to stop and rank all 8 theatrically released Transformers movies from the tediously unwatchable to the best. Hi, my name is Sean, and I love to talk about movies and TV way too much. With that in mind, go ahead and join me down below in the comment section. Share your ranking of all the Transformers movies that you've seen. My list is not the right list, it's just my list, and I would love to see yours. And let's get started. Coming in last place, Transformers Age of Extinction. And this movie simply has no excuses for how tedious and unwatchable it is.
What? No!
Because you've got Mark Wahlberg, very watchable leading man. You got Stanley Tucci in there, a fun character actor that can be entertaining. You have, of course, robots battling each other. You have Dinobots. Even it has several good setups in here. But the movie doesn't know how to tell a story. It doesn't know how to develop characters. It doesn't have character arcs. It just keeps throwing new ideas, new characters, new plot lines at you constantly until you're just exhausted from all of this stuff. And none of it feels like it matters. None of it is taken seriously. Every character plays like a caricature. The plotline is about evil corporations inventing things. We have an inventor as our lead character, and they don't do anything with that. They set it up, and they don't do anything with it. They decide to have a plotline about Mark Wahlberg's daughter and his boyfriend, and Mark Wahlberg doesn't approve. Instead of even using it as a stock character arc of learning to trust your daughter and the boyfriend earning the respect of the father, something like that, instead, they literally make a plotline where she's underage and the boyfriend is a legal adult, and they have to come up with an excuse as to why it's not illegal.
This is illegal. She's a minor.
Protected by the Romeo and Juliet laws. Statute 2705-3.
Texas statute?
They play statutory rape as a joke.
No, don't like that.
What are you thinking? But that's the whole movie. Everything is just a joke. Everything is just superficial entertainment. And there's all these ideas in here that are actually not too bad, but none of them go anywhere. None of them go together. It's just a series of events in chronological order. No character arcs, no storytelling, just events in order, and then the credits roll. And it's exhausting. It goes on forever. It just keeps happening to you. And it keeps happening to our lead characters. They're just along for the ride with the audience. And there's no real lead character driving the events. Stuff just happens. And then the credits roll. Fun fact, though, this movie was shot just down the road from where I live. And so I know someone that actually worked on the production. I drive on some of the roads that are seen in the movie. But even that can't save this movie from last place. Number 7, Transformers the Movie. And if you grew up with this movie, if you grew up watching the 80s animated show, I'm sure this is blasphemy and you're just shouting at your screen right now. And that's fair. I can understand why a movie like this would resonate with its target audience. The problem with this movie is that it's only made for its target audience. What I mean by that is if you haven't watched the 80s show recently, if you don't have a strong working knowledge of the 80s, the characters from that show, the mythology, the tensions, the conflicts, this movie is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't spend any time explaining to you who these characters are, what their relationships are to each other. Why is there this human guy with his son tagging along? How do they factor into any of this? It just drops you into the middle of it. Suddenly people are dying that you kind of can ascertain that that's the leader and oh no, that's sad. But you don't know who anyone else is. You don't know why it's meaningful that anyone is sent on a specific mission or why they might be promoted. None of it is established. It's just assumed that you have that information.
Not a great plan.
So, if you have all that information, this is probably a big, gigantic event film that matters to you a great deal. If you don't, it's just a feature-length version of, you know, three random episodes of a TV show you haven't seen strung together. It doesn't explain anything. So it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really work. And then all of a sudden, they're playing a Weird Al song. Out of the blue. Next up, Transformers The Last Night. And to be perfectly clear, I don't think this movie's really better than Age of Extinction on a storytelling level or character development. It's just as chaotic. It's just as nonsensical. But I think in the case of this movie, it's so bad it does loop around and become a little bit enjoyable again. There's so many things that are bad about it in an entertaining way, so it places a little bit better on the list. It was well documented that before this movie came out, they brought in Octavia Goldsman to like lead this writer's room, and they went off on this like escape to come up with plot lines for the future of the Transformers franchise. And supposedly they came back and they claimed to have 14 Transformers movies planned out. They said all that before this movie came out. And so I watched this movie the first time and I was like, wait, is what happened? Did you pick one of those movies and decide to make it? Or were you walking down the hallway with a list of outlines and you dropped it and then you just decided to mash them all together into this one movie? Because this film is bonkers. It starts off with King Arthur. It has the Nazis in it. It has this whole segment at the beginning with Mark Wahlberg and this little girl, and they're being tracked down by the government. And it's almost like post-apocalyptic because like Transformers are raining down from the sky. And then we're in England and it's about how Wahlberg is the chosen one. He's the last knight.
It would appear, Mr. Cade, that last knight is you.
And this totally other woman is the last child of Merlin, and the little girl's gone for like hours. But there's also a plot line about Optimus Prime being up in space on evil Cybertron being reprogrammed. And then we're like globetrotting and Transformers disappear from the movie for an hour while we're on a submarine somewhere.
This is a mess. None of these storylines make any sense.
I mean, it is bonkers. And then it's like literally the end of end times and the Earth is being torn to pieces by Cybertron or something. And it ends and Cybertron is just like floating next to the Earth or something like that. And that's kind of what makes it entertaining. Also has insane tonal whiplash where everything's comedic until it gets super serious. There's like a scene at the beginning of it where there's like they're into the junkyard and everything's exploding and falling over. It's weird and wacky. And then like the music starts to swell and this little girl goes,
I want to stay and I want to fight them.
But it's just like, what, you were just joking about like explosions in the junkyard, and now this girl's like, I want to stay and fight, and the next line is going to be another joke. It's all over the place, and it does that the entire movie. The music swells, cut to a joke instantly.
My lord?
You ruined the moment again.
I was making the moment more epic.
It's wacky as can be. It is by no means good or well done, but it is entertaining.
Stop it!
In fifth place, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And to understand the experience of watching this movie, you have to understand how it was written or not written. So after the first movie was a gigantic hit in summer of 2007, they quickly greenlit a sequel and wanted it to come out 2 years later in 2009. Now, it's not uncommon for sequels to only have a 2-year turnaround, but it is a big, tough ask when you're making a movie of this scope and size. But this was far from any sort of ideal situation. As soon as they were about to start writing the movie, there was a writer strike. So the way this movie was developed, the writers only worked on the movie for 2 weeks, coming up with an outline of basic plot points in locations for action set pieces, and they turned that in to Michael Bay to start doing pre-production, and then a writer strike happened, and no one was writing the film while Michael Bay was location scouting, pre-vising action sequences, and setting up all of the massive spectacle and size of the film. No one was writing it. Then, 3 months later, when the writer's strike was resolved, the writers came back and they had to try and piece together a script that tied together all of these action set pieces that Michael Bay had prepared. And they only had less than 2 months to do that, and then cameras were rolling. That's how this movie came about.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
So why on earth does the movie go from Sam making out with a girl in his dorm room to Optimus Prime dying 5 minutes later in a forest? Why does that happen? Because the movie wasn't really written. Why is there a literal teleporter in the movie so that they can suddenly show up in Egypt? Because the movie wasn't really written. Why are there so many juvenile, lowbrow Michael Bay jokes?
Name's Wheelie. Yeah. Say my name. Say my name.
I am directly below. The enemy scrotum.
Because the movie wasn't really written. And that's what you get when you're just trying to recapture the magic and you can superficially bring back the characters. You can superficially have the action and the set pieces, but you didn't actually write a story. So it's kind of nonsense. It's tough to follow. There's massive exposition dumps. And why is this one not lower on the list? I think that just Sam, Michaela, this era of the cast is more enjoyable and more charming than the Cade era. It's just a little bit more fun, has the right energy to it, the right tone and vibe, where I think it just kind of went off the rails with the later movies. But once again, on a writing level, this one wasn't even fully written. In fourth place, Rise of the Beasts. And to be perfectly clear, there's a pretty significant gap between Revenge of the Fallen and Rise of the Beasts. And for me, this was an enjoyable enough, good enough Transformers movie that feels like a bit of a compromise between the best and the worst aspects of this franchise. And what I mean by that is I feel like this movie, on a storytelling level, is dramatically better than the four movies below this on the list, where right out of the gate, it introduces an item, what it's able to do, and it lets us know why this group of people wants it, why this group of people wants it, and why it's a threat to Earth, and why the Autobots would also be interested in it. Right out of the gate, very clear objectives for all of our parties, clear motivations, clear stakes, clear benefits. And I appreciated that. A straightforward, transforward plot that you can follow and you know what everyone is trying to do in each situation. Likewise, the characters are much better developed than the four movies lower on this list. You have characters that are funny and charming, Mirage being a standout, but others play it straight. There's humor. It still has its light moments, but it allows characters to actually have normal human personalities, respond like a human to situations. But the big thing we go to these Transformers movies for is the big epic spectacle, the Transformers action. And the Transformers action in this movie is good. It's not poorly done, but it's not as good as when Michael Bay did it. And when you've had Michael Bay already do such sweeping, massive action set pieces where you're in downtown Chicago or you're seeing the earth being torn to pieces, and then you get to this movie and we're just kind of in the middle of nowhere with robots fighting each other, it just underwhelms and it doesn't stand out as much. And we've seen sky beams before. We've had existential threats to the earth before. We've had portals to Cybertron before. So it's just a bit of like, I've seen that before. On a story level, on a character level, it's better done. I mean, I think it drags a little bit at the beginning. If you want big spectacle, you've got Michael Bay, and he's excellent at that. And he's got a couple movies that are better than this movie that did that. And if you want character stuff, you got Bumblebee, and it does character stuff better than this film. So it's just kind of that in that awkward middle of trying to balance it all in being good enough because of that. A lot better than the four below this. I do marginally recommend it, but not great for me. Real quick, before I give you my top three, remember to join me down below in the comments section. Let me know your ranking of the Transformers movies. Also, I've done a ton of other rankings just like this before. I ranked the G.I. Joe movies, all sorts of sci-fi action ones, popular franchises. Right up here, I'll link to a couple of playlists with some of those videos that I think you'd be interested in if you enjoyed this video. Kicking off our top three is Transformers Dark of the Moon. And this is a movie that succeeds entirely because of the Michael Bay epic spectacle. It has its big, gigantic issues when it comes to the characters, character arcs. It spends all this time on Sam's life at the beginning of the movie, his hunt for a job that's not really a character arc that gets paid off by the end of the film. But what it's able to deliver, or what it does best, is deliver the most epic of our Transformers battles, where you just feel the scope and the size, and what Michael Bay does best blows stuff up in a way that looks really, really cool.
Cool.
And some of that is because it just has a little bit of fun with, you know, NASA history and the moon landing that kind of ties into a few things, but without getting so silly as where Last Night goes too far. This one is like just fun enough. Yeah, NASA. All right, right. Space robots. Cool. All right, I see the bridge. Kind of builds this sense of epicness. When we move into our third act, it's kind of clear what we're trying to do. It's set in downtown Chicago, and so it has a way to anchor us in reality. It hooks us to something that we can relate to and connect with. It's not the middle of nowhere. It's not just a big CGI field or something like that. It's an actual downtown area. And Michael Bay delivered fantastic visuals. Rewatching this third act 12 years after it came out, it looks fantastic.
Everything down to the last minute details.
And the ability to have that like veracity, like it just feels like a real space. Even as you're watching people raccoon suit through buildings crumbling with flying robots all around them, it feels like a real lived-in space. It doesn't look like people on a green screen. When you have Shia LaBeouf sliding down a building that's crumbling with a worm transformer tearing it to pieces, it looks believable. It doesn't just look like more green screen CGI, even though it obviously is. It looks phenomenal, and it's massive in scope and size, and he found ways to anchor it to something real and look just awesome. And hate Michael Bay for all the bad Michael Bayisms, but also give him credit for the good Michael Bayisms. He can deliver awesome spectacle. It's a movie with its issues, but at the end of the day, if your goal is to go to a Transformers movie and just see awesome action, this movie delivers that experience the best. Our runner-up, Transformers, the first Michael Bay film and easily the best of his Transformers movies that has all the Michael Bayisms, but they haven't completely taken over yet. They don't feel completely indulgent yet. The juvenile humor still kind of works. It doesn't feel stale. And kind of the epic plot with the military and all these different factions, it works in this movie where we're still introducing everyone, where we need to learn who Autobots and Decepticons are, build this looming grander threat while also having very human, normal people to kind of be our kind of point of reference characters. It has all those things that we have to slowly pull them together. And so it does a nice job of slowly unraveling what's happening and building intrigue with kind of the stuff kind of going on with the military, establishing things about Sam and his family history that tie into later events that explain why he's a big part of this journey that takes place. It just works better because it cared more about the characters and it stopped to think about what's the journey we're going to take our audience on. How do we let them know what they need to know about all of these different characters and the mythology? It found a way to actually tell us about each of them while pulling us into the world and having an interesting and compelling threat for our characters to try and battle and overcome.
My name is Optimus Prime.
Even part of what makes the charm of it is, like, Shia LaBeouf, for all of his personal issues, is very watchable.
50 years from now, when you're looking back at your life, don't you want to be able to say you had the guts to get in the car?
Feels like a person, and as wacky and over the top as he can be, and Michael Bay likes his characters to be with that frantic, manic energy in every scene to just keep everything entertaining, Shia delivers that really well, and even the dynamic with the parents work. So, a movie that was Michael Bay doing his thing, but before he went too far with the Michael Bayisms. But for me, easily coming in first place is Bumblebee. It's a bit of an odd situation here because you come to the Transformers movies for big, gigantic robot spectacle, and I think pretty much every other movie on this list does that better. But this is easily the best movie on the list. So what does the movie do right? Well, it borrows from some of the best, E.T., the Iron Giant, kind of these tried and true stories about this child that's not connecting with their parent, where there's been some loss recently that connects with this strange new being, and in doing so becomes that better version of themselves, and their parent is able to understand them better. It's a classic tried and true formula, and it works great right here, and I think it provides easily our best characters in the franchise, the most fulfilling, emotionally resonant arc throughout the journey of the story, because that's what it's about. It's more concerned with you and being bought into this relationship between this girl and Bumblebee than it is in constantly delivering spectacle, constantly delivering wacky laughs. It's not concerned with being the most epic. It's concerned with you buying into these two people. And it does something different with a Transformers movie. You do get robot fights in here. There's some of that. You get absolutely get it. But you also get a lot of just fish out of water comedy. You get Bumblebee trying to fit in and all the things that come along with that. So it's funny. It finds much more organic humor. And because of that, I just think it's a much more well-rounded film. Oh, fun fact on this one, it's actually directed by the son of Phil Knight, the creator of Nikes, played by Ben Affleck in the movie Air. His son was the guy that kind of runs Leica. He directed this film, so now you know. I did not realize that until very recently. But for me, this easily comes in at number one. If you enjoyed this video, remember I've got more like it. You can check them out right over here in these playlists. Thank you so much for watching, and keep talking movies and TV too much. Bye-bye.